Green Bay Packers tight end Jared Cook is reportedly out for the remainder of OTAs after undergoing foot surgery. How will this impact the Packers? We'll find out with Zach Jacobson of Cheesehead TV. It's all coming up on Railbird Central next. Welcome to Railbird Central at Cheesehead TV. I'm your host, Brian Kervu. We're talking some Packers football this morning. We're talking about Packers OTAs. We're talking about Jared Cook's surgery. Happened on Friday. News of it came out on Friday afternoon after our last episode of Railbird Central. So to set the scene, the story was broken by Rob Domofsky of ESPN. Cook has underwent foot surgery, keeping him out of the rest of the off-season program. It was also called a preventative measure. Consider that the rest of the off-season program is only this week and next week. So really, Jared Cook is really, you know, only going to miss 2 weeks of practice here. Well, in addition to the prior week in which he did not participate either, at least did not in the public practice. More information was added by Ryan Wood of the Green Bay Press Gazette, who added that if there was a game on Sunday, Cook could have played, putting into perspective how minor this procedure really is here. To talk more about this topic and a few others, we have a guest joining us. I talked to new Cheesehead TV writer Zach Jacobson last night in a pre-recorded segment here, but we're talking about Cook, talking about Packers. So listen in and enjoy. We're joined now by new Cheesehead TV writer Zach Jacobson. Zach, welcome to Cheesehead TV, and thanks for taking the time to join me today.
Absolutely. Glad to be a part of it, and thank you for having me.
No problem. Well, big news broke this past Friday. Jared Cook, Packers tight end, underwent foot surgery. What was your initial reaction when you first heard that Cook would have to go under the knife?
My initial reaction, here we go. Initially, that was my first thought, just here we go again, the injury starting. But that eventually, you know, I read into it a little more. I got a little more comfortable with the situation. It seems very minor. As long as he's back by training camp, then, you know, there's nothing really much to worry about here.
Yeah, I think the first reaction for everybody when they hear surgery, you think, oh, no. But then you read a little bit more about it, think about it. It's not too bad. But nobody in the organization has commented on the injury, so we're kind of left to speculate. But what do you think might be the reasons Cook is having surgery now and not earlier in the offseason when the Packers first signed him?
My first guess would be he probably aggravated the injury a little more than intended. Initially, I would assume that the injury wasn't as, you know, vibrant as someone would think, especially with a foot injury like that. It's something you definitely want to tackle immediately. So, honestly, he's having the surgery at a perfect time because, you know, OTAs are completely voluntary. But, you know us Packer fans, we, as soon as we hear about a player, especially a big signing like Jared Cook was, you know, being held out of OTAs, then, you know, that's something very concerning. But I'm definitely content with where, you know, his time frame with having the surgery, better now than, you know, later.
Absolutely. I guess I just wish I knew a little bit more about it. You know, like with Aaron Rodgers, of course, he underwent the knee surgery, you know, right after the season ended. Kind of wonder why Cook did not. But I'm sure there's a good reason for it. I just wish they'd be a little more forthcoming with it. But, Zach, how much of a setback do you think this will be for Cook? Perhaps not getting to work with Rodgers anymore until training camp starts.
truthfully, you know, we know Aaron Rodgers. We know he has the ability to make a new weapon out of anybody, any receiver, and especially a big body like Jared Cook. I don't think it'll be too impacting, but, you know, it is definitely something to keep an eye on. I don't think it'll halt his development very much. He still, like we said, he does have training camp. He has a preseason to get in some reps, which personally I would recommend holding him out of all five preseason games, but, you know, I'm not the coach. Yeah, but I don't think it will hold back any of his progression.
Perhaps appropriately, your first column published at Cheesehead TV last week was about Jared Cook's presence and how it impacts Richard Rodgers. Do you think the surgery changes anything with that?
Not necessarily. We know Richard Rodgers is prepared to step into the game. He's been doing it as a first and second string for the past two seasons, you know, splitting time with Andrew Corliss. I do believe he was utilized improperly last season. So, like I said, he's no stranger to getting in the game. I'm expecting to see him utilized a lot more in, you know, longer yardage situations or short down packages, you know, third downs, really short yardage situations where, you know, last season he was sent on a lot of flat routes that really resulted in 1 to 2 yard gains. And, you know, with Jordy Nelson being back this season and Jared Cook opening up the field as well, I think those kinds of routes would be a lot more ideal for Rodgers this season, you know, rather than last. We know how bad the passing game was last year.
How do you think Cook and Rodgers will split or share playing time during the regular season? I mean, you talked about how they're going to be utilized, but what do you think, you know, in terms of percentage-wise, what do you think that's going to break up as into?
Well, we saw Richard Rodgers on the field for around 700 to 800 snaps, I believe, the last two seasons. Richard Rodgers, I see him being on the field a good 60% of the time. He's still a vital component in the run-blocking game. Pass blocking, of course, needs some work. But Jared Cook, he's going to get a majority of those snaps. Whether Richard Rodgers won't be sent on as many deep routes as Jared Cook would typically be, but as far as run blocking and in the running game, Richard Rodgers will be on that field a lot more than not.
Be interesting to see how it all plays out. We're talking to Zach Jacobson here at Cheesehead TV on a Monday morning. Zach, in an article published at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel late last week, offensive lineman TJ Lang says that he wasn't aware of any negotiations on a contract extension between his agent and the Packers. Do you think this is the right approach for the Packers entering the season?
I do believe every player has a right to know, you know, the contract negotiations, because this does concern them as well. And especially heading into the season, you know, a guy heading into his contract year, I think that kind of takes a blow to the morale of TJ Lang. You know, that kind of thing being, you know, kept out of the loop, that's really something that can impact the player mentally and as well as physically on the field. You know, he may not want to give his 100%. You never know. But I do believe that was kind of a really iffy course of action.
Yeah, I wonder if the Packers are kind of playing a wait-and-see type of approach to see, you know, how the 2016 season plays out. We'll see how it ends up coming about. But in other offensive line news, David Bakhtiari said in an article published at ESPN.com last week, he doesn't anticipate moving from left tackle. Do you think that's in the Packers' best interest, keeping Bakhtiari on the left side with Jason Spriggs kind of waiting in the wings?
Absolutely. I there is no chance. To me, I definitely would not move him, you know, to any guard position. Regardless, he's a left tackle. And I mean, you know, from his perspective, you got to think, you know, they just drafted Jason Spriggs, a possible successor to Bakhtiari. I mean, he's also heading into his contract year. So, you know, Spriggs could be the potential starter at left tackle regarding depending on how Bakhtiari plays in 2016, whether he could stay healthy, you know, trim down on those penalties.
Yeah, I mean, certainly Bakhtiari has work to do there. But, you know, one more question here, Zach. Linebacker Jake Ryan was part of the winning team at the annual Lombardi Foundation Golf Tournament this past weekend. And maybe I'm stretching here a bit, but just for, you know, fun and conversation sake, what kind of athletic tricks do you think carry over from a game like golf to football?
Not very many. I do think in a sense, not physically, but more so mentally, patience. That's a big part of the game of golf. And I mean, I golf in my free time. That is a frustrating game. I mean, I've lost count of how many clubs I've broken. So patience, especially at an inside linebacker position, that's probably one of your best friends. When you're not dropping into coverage, you got to wait for the plays to develop in front of you. You got to wait to see whether the running back's going to cut right up the gut, whether he's going to take it to the outside. And as an inside linebacker, you got to wait for that to develop. That's really 99% of where the game of golf can kind of be translated into football, especially in Jake Ryan's shoes. The guy coming into his second year, patience would be ideal.
That would be good. That would be good. And that's a good answer, seeing as the rest of it is probably a stretch anyhow. But, Zach, thank you so much for taking the time to join me this morning. Appreciate it. Let me be the first. I know I'm not the first, but welcome you to Cheesehead TV. It's good to have you on board, and hope to hear from you again sometime.
Thank you. Thank you very much for the opportunity, and thank you for having me on here. Really appreciate it.
That is Zach Jacobson, Cheesehead TV's newest edition, joining us here at Railbird Central. Thanks to him for joining us. Thanks to you, the listener, for joining us this morning as we continue on with the show.
Packers news of the day.
My own two cents on the latest news revolving around the Green Bay Packers here and the surgery to Jared Cook. I really think the only question people have that I alluded to earlier is why now? Why having the surgery now and not, you know, when the Packers signed him back in, February, March? I can't even remember when he was signed now. Had to be into March, not February. But maybe we'll get an answer to that today when Mike McCarthy speaks to the media. We kind of know that Jared Cook is probably not going to speak. In fact, just breaking news right before the start of the show here Monday morning, Rob Domofsky of ESPN.com tweeted out that Jared Cook's wife is expecting twins this week. So congratulations to Cook. Perhaps premature congratulations here, but regardless, not expected to even maybe be with the team this week. And understandably, when you give birth, or wife does, that would be the one, one of the big reasons, for a excused absence from practice. So understandable there. But we're sitting here left to speculate why, Cook is having surgery now here in the month of June. And I can only imagine that Cook aggravated something since the start of the offseason program. You'll remember that he actually took part in the first week of OTAs and nothing appeared wrong. No one reported anything suspicious at the time. Then you might recall our last episode of Railbird Central. I asked our guest, Stu Courtney of the Green Bay Press-Gazette, why Cook was missing from week two of OTAs, because that was definitely odd. Because as someone new to the organization, you would think at the very least Cook would need the mental reps and be present for practice, even if he wasn't really participating. But we know now he had a legitimate reason for missing. So maybe we'll find out more. Like I said, Mike McCarthy will speak later on Monday in a press conference setting. So we'll stay tuned and see if we learn any more on the Jared Cook situation. As for the discussion on TJ Lang that I mentioned in our interview with Zach Jacobson, it would appear the Packers are taking a wait-and-see approach with Lang. Four offensive linemen entered the 2016 season with expiring contracts, and as far as we know, they're going to let the 2016 season play itself out before making any decisions on any, contract extensions or things like that. Of course, that can change at a moment's notice. The four players with expiring contracts are Lang, Josh Sitton, David Bakhtiari, and J.C. Tretter. Now, if there was one player I'd imagine the Packers would enter into contract negotiations first, I think it's going to be David Bakhtiari. And again, I mean, you can't talk to four people simultaneously. So if they were to choose one to sign to a contract extension, Bakhtiari is the youngest, you know, at least compared to Sitton and Lang, who are a few years older. And I think from that standpoint, that makes sense. But that's merely a guess on my part. But assuming Bakhtiari gets through the season healthy and has a season on par with his first 3 years in the NFL, you know, he's going to command a contract, you know, somewhere in the neighborhood of $10 million a season, I'm thinking, you know, give or take. I think it's going to be one of those situations where David Bakhtiari is going to have to choose the security of a new contract in advance or play out the season and risk injury or something like that. And you remember now, a similar situation played out with Mike Daniels this past year. He signed a contract extension in season for roughly $10 million per season on average. When you saw in free agency, a player like former Denver Broncos defensive lineman Malik Jackson, he got about $17 million per season on average. And while I think Jackson is a good player, is he worth $7 million per season more than Mike Daniels? I'm not sure he is. But the point being here that I'm trying to make, David Bakhtiari will have to choose between the security of earnings potential if the Packers choose to enter into negotiations early on, and it's no guarantee that they will after selecting Jason Spriggs in the NFL draft. They may just wait and see until the 2016 season is over before entering into negotiations with any of the players, be it Bakhtiari, Lang, Sitton, Treader, whoever. Knowing that they have guys waiting in the wings to take over if possible, especially Jason Spriggs, but to a lesser extent, you know, Kyle Murphy, who they drafted this year, maybe they're thinking he's ready, you know, in a year's time to maybe take on a larger role or something like that. And again, all speculation right now. So much has to play itself out, and we'll see how good these rookies are and see if the incumbents can, you know, stay healthy throughout an entire season. And you know, that brings up a good point, because Brian Bulaga, you know, it seems like, you know, there's not much attention on him, you know, compared to the other offensive linemen, because he's set. He's the guy who has the contract, and he's under contract for a couple years, where the other four players, they're all entering contract season. So when people are talking offensive line in the Green Bay Packers, they're talking about the guys whose contracts are coming up, because everybody wants to know what's going to happen next. But you know what? The guy who has had the biggest trouble on the offensive line has been Brian Bulaga. As far as Brian Bulaga goes, sorry for my ringtone sent directly to the laptop here. But I think Jason Spriggs is as much an insurance policy at left tackle as he is at right tackle. And maybe that doesn't come immediately to mind, because Spriggs was a left tackle in college, and you kind of just assume, like, you know, that's his most natural position, and that's where his future could lie. But I mean, let's assume Brian Bulaga, you know, thankfully he's gotten through the past, you know, season or two fairly healthy. But I mean, prior to that, you know, he's been, how many seasons did he land on injured reserve there? 2-3 seasons. He, of course, missed the full entire season when he tore an ACL, but he had hip problems prior to that. He's had a lot of issues, and if he can't get through, you know, a full season, Jason Spriggs very well might be the right tackle, you know, to temporarily as a fill-in, or perhaps even, you know, the long-term solution down the road. You know, if there's anybody on the Packers roster where you think, well, injuries might, you know, pile up and have a cumulative effect and perhaps end somebody's career prematurely, you know, Brian Bulaga could be that person. Not that I wish it upon him by any means. I'm just saying, when you're thinking about the bigger picture here and why the Packers drafted a player like Jason Spriggs, why they traded up to get him, you know, it's as much as, you know, him being the right tackle of the future as it is being the left tackle, even if David Bakhtiari's contract is expiring. So there's a lot to play out here. You know, that's why I think maybe the wait and see approach is going to be the most likely one. Not to say that Packers may not enter into contract negotiations with a player before the season or in the season. I just think the wait and see approach is perhaps the most likely approach, perhaps, of all of them. So there's your comment on the Packers offensive line. And continuing on.
The day ahead.
In the world of the Green Bay Packers, today on Monday, this week's OTA open to the public and the media is at 11:30 a.m. Central at Clark Hinkle Field. And this is the only one open to the public this entire week. So while they will have practice later in the week, they'll have practice tomorrow and later on, don't go to Green Bay expecting to check it out. It's going to happen inside the Don Hutson Center behind closed doors. You want to check out practice this week. Today would be the only day to do so. But, you know, to address the injury situation of the Green Bay Packers, the one thing I'm looking forward to today to find out is to see if there's progress from certain players. And I'm not talking about the ones that suffered injuries last season, like Jordy Nelson and Ty Montgomery, the wide receivers, or linebacker Sam Barrington, all of whom had their seasons ended on injured reserve last year. It's understandable with them that they're missing time. At least they're doing some individual drills and taking part in the team stretch at the beginning, which is all we can really ask from them at this point. And really the same goes for TJ Lang, we talked about earlier, who underwent off-season shoulder surgery. It's the rest of the guys being held out. I'd like to see progress. And especially the rookies, like running back Don Jackson and cornerback Randall Jett. These guys did not take part in practice, I believe, in either of the last 2 weeks of OTAs, reportedly, according to the beat writers that cover the team. But these are guys that took part in the rookie mini camp and haven't taken part since. These are the guys that need practice time the most. If anybody on the roster needs it, it's the first-year guys, it's the rookies, it's the guys just coming in who have only been members of the Green Bay Packers for a few weeks. Obviously, I don't want them to be put in a situation where they'll make the injury worse, if that is indeed the case. No one from the organization has addressed what's happening with these guys, so I'm merely left to speculate, but it would be nice to see these guys get back out there and participate and show some progress and start learning the systems and learning the schemes and learning the plays. And the same goes for like cornerback Quentin Rollins and linebacker Joe Thomas and defensive lineman B.J. McBride, all of whom were reportedly sidelined for last week's practice. And kind of, you know, the big question has been probably this offseason has been the injury to Quentin Rollins that nobody's really talked about. And perhaps, you know, part of that is because Rollins himself hasn't spoken to the media. And perhaps he probably should to just, you know, set the record straight in terms of what's happening here. Because while, it was brief for a brief amount of time, people were wondering a lot about Corey Linsley. because he did not take part in the first week of OTAs, but I think he did last week. So there was progress on his part there that you saw him coming back and doing a little bit. But we're still kind of in the cold here a little bit about Quentin Rollins and where he's at. And fellow cornerback Robertson Daniel as well didn't take part in practice this past week. And you're kind of wondering about these guys who were on the team last season. And you know, their seasons weren't ended by injury by any means. So you're wondering, what did they aggravate something, you know, since the start of the offseason program? Did you know, an injury occur since that time? Are they merely, you know, being, you know, cautious with them and not trying to, you know, let any injury linger or injure it further or things like that? Those are the things I'm left to speculate about because nobody has addressed it. It'd be nice if the players themselves would. So we'll see today whether that happens with a guy like Quentin Rollins, you know, one of the biggest question marks on the team. And like I said, especially the rookies, you know, like everybody's so high on running back Don Jackson. I think, you know, a lot of people thought, you know, he was one of the Packers' better undrafted rookie signings, you know, coming out of a FBS program like Nevada and really, you know, kind of, you know, in his workout times, really showing some quickness and speed and things like that, and hoping for the best from him, if nothing else. So we'll see. We'll see here. So that's happening today. Elsewhere, the Tellurian Golf Outing, an annual fundraiser, is being held in the Wisconsin Dells today. And that's headlined by their host is former Packers wide receiver Antonio Freeman. And he's having a bunch of former Packers players join him in the Dells today. Look forward to perhaps some media interviews and things coming out of that. That's taking place on Monday. So that's what's happening in the world of the Green Bay Packers here in the next day. OTAs continuing over the next couple days. So we'll have more to talk about on the next episode of Railbird Central, which will be Wednesday after, you know, the Packers hit the practice field today. There will be more to talk about then. So new episodes of Railbird Central every Monday, Wednesday, Friday, live at 8:30 a.m. Central Time. At Cheesehead TV, at Livestream. You can even get it on your Roku via the Livestream app. It'll be podcasted and on demand later in the day. And my call to action, as always, as usual, if you've not done so already, the one small thing we ask: the show is free of charge, no subscription, no paywall. So if you could give us a rating and a review, that would be really great. Just head to iTunes, search Cheesehead TV, it'll pop right up, and give us a 5-star rating and a brief little review. Doesn't have to be anything long, but it helps find, you know, helps people find this show, which we think is a great service to Packers fans. So we'd really appreciate if you did that, and many of you have, and thank you if you did. But that'll do it for today's show. Thank you everybody so much for joining us. Thank you to Zach Jacobson of Cheesehead TV for joining us on the show, being our guest today, and thank you for listening in, the rest of you as well. We'll see you, folks. I leave you today with a song called Susanna by 30 Decibels on Psy Fidelity Records. See you later, everyone. Go Pack, go. Twice it would be nice to see you, and I'll believe